Today on Straight Talk Africa, Boko Haram, the radical Islamic group, is proudly waging war on schoolgirls in Nigeria. International outrage is growing, but is the response adequate? That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, May 14th. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello, Shaka.
And hello, Mariama.
And welcome back. I'm so happy to see you.
It's nice to be back, but I also think it is appropriate, perhaps, to thank a one Vincent himself.
The one and only Vincent McCoy.
Who sat in for me while I was away on a special assignment.
Absolutely. And he did a good job.
Thank you.
Not as good as you. I hope he's not watching. I'm just teasing. Well, hello to you and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I am Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
And today, we'll discuss the abduction of about 300 Nigerian schoolgirls by the radical Islamist group Boko Haram, and the role that the Nigerian government, the international community, are playing in the attempt to rescue them.
A horrific incident that has no end in sight and has Nigerians and the rest of the world wondering when the girls will return to their homes. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share emails and Facebook comments on the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls that has gone viral in the social media landscape. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, the kidnapping of almost 300 schoolgirls continues to focus world attention on Nigeria. Today, we have a first-hand look at Boko Haram from a young girl who survived its terror. She visited Washington this week, and my colleague Paul Sisko has more on this story.
Deborah Peters is 15 and a survivor of Boko Haram's terror. Her brother and father were killed in front of her. She escaped captivity from Boko Haram over a year ago.
So they go ahead and shoot him again, one in his mouth, and then he fall down and died. So I was in shock. I didn't know what was happening. So they put me in the middle of my dad and my brother. So the next day, the army came and picked them to the mortuary and take me to hospital.
Deborah is from Chibok in northeastern Nigeria. Boko Haram abducted some 300 schoolgirls just like her a month ago from their school in Chibok. Emmanuel Ogebe says the Islamic militants were once known as gentlemen terrorists because they targeted young men and not women or the elderly.
Boko Haram said, we don't kill women, we don't attack women. That changed last month.
Emmanuel Ogebe recently returned from a fact-finding mission to the region.
And so we have a situation where there's an ineffective military response to terrorism. Then there's an ineffective humanitarian response to the victims of the terrorism. And we're at a point now where the international community needs to respond effectively to what is going on in Nigeria.
Since 2011, attacks by the radical Islamists have killed over 1,000 Nigerian civilians. Boko Haram, a Hausa phrase meaning Western education is a sin, is responsible for bombings and burnings of homes, villages, churches, and schools. Abubakar Shaku, leader of Boko Haram, boasted responsibility for the kidnappings in northeastern Nigeria last week. Boko Haram is headquartered in Maiduguri. In a video release, Boko Haram offered to trade the girls for imprisoned militants. The Nigerian government says it is exploring all options aimed at finding the girls. The U.S. has a team of law enforcement, military, and other personnel on the ground in the region, helping the Nigerian government search for the missing girls. Many analysts say the Nigerian government has been too passive and is unable to stem the rising terrorism from Boko Haram, in part because the militants are more resilient, better fed, and better armed than the government's forces. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry.
We will make every effort possible in order to help free those young women. And we are there helping to do that now. I'm not going to discuss what mechanism or methodology may or may not be used in order to do so, except to say that we are committed to this effort, together with, I think, decent and civilized people all around the world who think this is a barbaric, horrendous act against the conscience of people everywhere. And so the president has all options with respect to the future. We're dealing with the government of another country. That's always got its diplomatic requirements.
In addition to personnel, the U.S. is contributing small aircraft, satellite, and surveillance assistance to the effort. Meanwhile, international outrage is growing with daily Bring Our Girls Back campaigns worldwide.
I hope if people hear my story, I think they will understand and they will know more and more of what God said, and they will like understand what it means to stand strong.
Deborah Peters says her challenge now is to stand strong.
Thank you, David.
Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. On a programming note, we were expected to bring you a one-on-one exclusive interview with Ugandan Prime Minister Amama Mbabazi. But due to circumstances beyond his control, he is unable to join us today. We hope to host him in the near future. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are three distinguished guests. Dr. Olwatosin Adebola, Associate Professor and Chair at Morgan State University in the U.S. city of Baltimore, Maryland. She also served as the organizer of the We Stand in Solidarity rally that was held last week here in the nation's capital. Hibak Osman, a global political strategist that leads three regional non-government organizations working to end violence against women in the Arab region. Karama, the Global Dignity Fund, and the think tank for Arab women, and has launched civil society organizations in Ethiopia, Libya, Syria, and Yemen. And last but not least, Emmanuel Ogebe, international human rights lawyer that focuses on bilateral U.S.-Nigerian relations. Well, welcome to you all.
Thanks for having us.
I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you today on Straight Talk Africa. Thank you very much for coming. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Olwatosin. I hope I'm not muttering your name.
No, you're not. It's fine.
It's nice to have you in the studio
today.
Thanks
for having me.
What exactly, what role are you playing in as far as Boko Haram is concerned back in your country?
Back in my country, one of my biggest goals, or one of our biggest goals, those of us who are interested in continuing to have a meaningful noise, is to put a little bit more pressure on the Nigerian government to at least show a more active role. We hear what's been said in the news. It seems as if they're taking action step by step, but there's a lot of frustration amongst many of us as to A, why it took this long. Mm-hmm. Those of us who have been studying on this know that this wasn't the first incident. So why has it taken this long for there to be an outrage and an outcry? I have to honestly say I haven't even seen any actual outrage from our president, and it would be nice to see that on an empathetic level.
You're not saying, you're not suggesting by any measure that he seems to be insensitive to what is taking place on his territory, are you?
I can't judge that. What I can judge is that there seems to have been a lackluster response from him from the 14th of April up until the day he had his media chat. Anyone watching it could not have been satisfied with the manner in which the response was made.
What about you, Hibak? What role are you playing? And are there any similarities between the actions of Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab operating right in your own country back in Somalia?
This is a very interesting question that you are asking me. And